Hello, good morning, welcome. It's good to see everyone here today. We want you to, at this time, grab your Bible and be opening to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. We're going to be reading verses 25 through 33. Luke 14, page 79 of your Pew Bible in the New Testament section. We're actually going to be reading some very startling words that our Lord Jesus had to say this morning to those who were following Him. We read starting in verse 25 of Luke 14. Now large crowds were going along with Him. And He turned and said to them, If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be My disciples who does not give up all his own possessions. Large crowds had been following Jesus around. He had been preaching for quite some time now. He's in his third year of preaching. And he had acquired quite a fan base here. And people were following Jesus for just a variety of reasons. And most of them were following Him for reasons that were not of the best motives. In Luke chapter 8, we read that many were following Him because they were having their infirmities, their sicknesses healed. In Luke chapter 9, we read that Jesus fed 5,000 people miraculously. And many were following Him just to get a free meal. And in Luke chapter 13, it said that many people were seeking signs for Him. They were wanting Him to show them signs from heaven. And He called them a wicked generation for requesting that. And if we look over in the Gospel of John, John chapter 6 and verse 15, we read that some people actually wanted to take Him and make Him king by force. People were looking for an earthly king. They were looking for a miracle-working rabbi. They were looking to see a spectacular show they wanted Jesus to put on for them. And He's got this multitude following Him, a great crowd of people. And at this particular time, He tells them something that really knocks their sandals off. He really says something here to them right off the bat that is a serious shocker, a really shocking statement that really grabs their attention. He said in verse 26, You really want to follow Me? Well, He said, if you don't hate your father and your mother and your wife and your children and your brothers and your sisters, if you don't even hate your own life, then you can't. You can't be My disciple if you're not willing to do these things. Because listen, being a disciple of Jesus is so much more important than anything else that you could ever do. And it's so much more important than anyone else that you could ever love that by comparison, it's like hating your loved ones and hating your own self, hating your family members. By comparison, that's the case. What He's saying here is that you have to love your family, the people you're closest to in this world, and you have to love yourself less than Him to be His follower. Comparatively speaking, you need to hate them. That's how much you need to love Jesus. Wow, what a startling thing to say. Is that possible? Are you ready to love Jesus that way? Are you ready to love Jesus more than your mother or your father, your husband, or your wife? Are you ready to love Jesus more than your own children? Are you ready to love Jesus more than your own self, than your own life? Jesus said you had better be, or you can't follow Him. You can't be His disciples. And while His listeners' heads were still reeling from that statement, Jesus hit them with another shot to the jaw, just another jaw dropper. He said in verse 27, Whoever doesn't carry his own cross and come after Me, He says, you can't be My disciple. Oh my heavens, did He really just say that? You've got to carry your own cross if you're going to come after Jesus? Well, that's what He said. Now listen, that might not sound too remarkable to you and me. We're looking at this statement well after the fact. We know that Jesus died on a cross. And we know that that cross is the emblem of the sacrificial death that he died for everybody in this world. But the people who was listening to him, who were listening to him, his immediate listening audience, they didn't know that. They knew the cross only as an instrument of execution, a form of executing a criminal. And he tells them, you got to pick up this form of execution and follow me. It would be the equivalent maybe of saying something like this today. It might be the equivalent of saying, you want to follow me? Then you got to take a seat over there in that electric chair. And you can do that. You can follow me. You want to follow Jesus? You want to be the disciple of Christ? The way that he meant for you to do that? The way he meant for it to be done? Then you have to be ready to love him before everyone and everything else in your life, more than your closest family members, even more than yourself, and you have to be willing to die for him. Now you got to think about right about this time, the majority of the people who had been following him around, they're rethinking that whole idea of following Jesus around and being his disciple. You got to think a lot of these people are starting to change their mind at this point. Following Jesus can be an awfully costly undertaking. Are you willing to make the serious sacrifices that are necessary to follow Jesus? Because that's what it's going to take for you to do that. And just so that his audience didn't misunderstand him as they were digesting this very hard to swallow things that he had to say, he explained to them farther what it was that he meant by these statements. He used two analogies. He told the story of a person who wanted to build a tower and the story of a king going to war. And first of all, this building project about the man who's going to build a tower. He said you shouldn't start to build a tower before you know that you can afford it. That would be a foolish thing to do. If you stop after you started building a tower, if you stop in the middle of that, people are just going to ridicule you for that. They're going to point their finger at you and say, look, you started, but you couldn't finish. That's foolish. And he's telling the people who are listening to him, and he's telling us as well, that we need to do some serious cost analysis before we start following him. You want to do that before you undertake any business or building project, right? You want to do some cost analysis before you ever drive that first nail. Have you ever done that? Have you ever started to build something and then weren't able to finish it? Have you ever started a building project and then run out of money? That could be a very embarrassing thing to do, especially if it's visible for a lot of people to see. In 1987, ground was broken in Pyongyang. That's the capital of North Korea. And ground was broken for the world's tallest hotel. And it had to be abandoned 5 years later because of the exorbitant costs and the shoddy construction of this structure. But this unfinished 105-story hotel dominates the skyline of the capital city of North Korea. And it's quite an eyesore. It looks like some sort of misshapen, gothic, skeletal pyramid. It's just a hideous thing to look at. And it's a serious embarrassment for the North Korean government as well. The communist regime that rules there routinely will airbrush that structure out of their official pictures, or they'll crop it out of the official pictures that they print and distribute of that city. And that particular structure has been stricken from official maps of the city. It's the source of ridicule. It's a laughingstock. It's an eyesore. It's like a bad joke. It's known as the Hotel of Doom. And Jesus said, you'd be ridiculed if you didn't count the cost before you started a building project of your own. If you started to build a tower and didn't finish that. And you need to count the cost before you choose to follow Jesus as well. It's a very serious undertaking. It can be very costly as well. I've watched so many people abandon Jesus after they started their walk in Him. So many people who put Christ on in baptism and took that yoke upon their shoulders and then cast that off and discarded Jesus along the way. And you know, that's not a laughing matter. That's nothing at all to laugh about. It's a real tearjerker when you see somebody start their walk on that pathway to heaven and then just bail out and abandon that walk. It's a terrible thing. But you know, sometimes the road, it gets too difficult. You got to give up things that you might really like to do. Give up sinful things. Give up some things that are not necessarily sinful of themselves. Sometimes you have to sever family ties to follow Him. And boy, that can be very costly. And I've seen that happen on numerous occasions. People just didn't initially count the cost before they decided to follow Jesus. Or if they did count the cost, they didn't do so accurately. And you know, I want you to know the Bible says it's better to not start than to start and not finish. Did you know that? 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22 tells us that. It's better that you not even start than if you're going to start and then quit after you started. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22 says, "For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed down to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, after washing, returns to its wallowing in the mire." You think about what a terrible description it is to start a walk in Christ and then abandon that. That's a lot worse than even being ridiculed, isn't it? That's a lot worse than being a laughingstock. That's a horrible depiction. A dog returning to its vomit. You can see how serious a thing it is to follow Jesus. And we need to take that very seriously. And another analogy that Jesus uses to describe to them the importance, the seriousness of following Him, He used the analogy of a military operation, verses 28 through 32. Before getting involved in a war, you better size up your opponent. You better determine if you're strong enough to meet your enemy head on and to be victorious over them. You go into war without enough manpower, without enough firepower, without a sure course of action, what's going to happen? You're going to lose that war. You're going to be decimated. You're just going to run into all kind of trouble if you do that. Has anybody here ever heard of a thing called the Vietnam War? It was one of those wars that the United States just could not win. And it would have been a perpetual war if we wouldn't have pulled up stakes and cut our losses and got out of Vietnam. I want to thank everyone who can hear these words. I want to thank every soldier who served in that war. And I would like to say I really wish you wouldn't have had to. I'm glad you were willing to do that for us. But so many people lost their lives. So many survivors' lives were shattered forever because of what really turned out to be a needless war. Boy, if we had only stopped and counted the cost before we endeavored into that unfortunate event that we call the Vietnam War, things would have been a whole lot different if we'd had any foresight at all. And a king must have some foresight before he determines to go into war with another kingdom. He's got to determine if his forces are strong enough to stand up to the opponent, Jesus said. If he's ready to do what it takes to see the war all the way through to its victorious end. Are you ready to stand up to all the difficulties that await you when you sign up for Christ's army? Are you ready to do that? Have you counted those costs? Because you really shouldn't take this lightly. Now listen to me. It's still the best offer going around. The offer that Jesus gives to you to join His army, to be a part of His kingdom, it's the best offer going around. But you need to take it seriously. You really need to not take that lightly, because signing up to follow Jesus is enlisting in an army. Are you ready to go to war for Christ? Because listen, building projects are costly undertakings. Wars are costly and demanding undertakings. And you need to face some realities before you go into situations like that. You need to have some foresight. You need to make some calculations. You need to do some cost counting. It's the same, exact same thing with a building project and with an actual war. It's the same situation with following Jesus. You need to look down the road a little bit. You need to have some vision about you. And you have to determine if you're ready, willing, and able to pay the price that's going to be required of you. Do you have any idea what cost you might have to pay? Do you have any idea if you're strong enough to stand up against your greatest enemy who is going to unleash his army of servants against you? Satan is relentless in his side of this war. Do you have any idea what it's going to take on your part to be victorious in Christ and what it might cost you? I mean, it could cost you everything. What did Jesus say there in verse 33 of Luke 14? So then no one of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. You know, many people had to do just that. It may not be required of you to give up all your possessions, but a lot of people had to. Are you ready to do that if necessary? Jesus said you better be if you want to follow him. And you know, I can't help but think that makes it extremely difficult, even extra difficult for us today in America. We have so many things. We have so many possessions and pleasures and relationships that we have to weigh in the balance before we decide to follow him. And these things, quite often, they weigh us down and they hold us back from truly following Jesus quite often. Being a disciple of Christ is not nearly a joyride. And I believe a lot of people in this world associate following Christ with just a lot of sunshine and happiness and pleasure and good times. And it's just not always like that. I think a lot of people under the impression when you decide to follow Jesus that you're just going to get everything you want now. I mean, isn't that the impression that a lot of people had that were following him? They were getting their bellies full. They were being healed of diseases. I get everything I want with this guy. Why wouldn't I want to follow him? And it's just not always a matter of getting everything you want. I think a lot of people, when they choose to follow Jesus, they think, from now on, I'm going to hear everything I want to hear. Things that are going to tickle my ears and make me feel good about myself. I know a lot of people like that. And what happens the first time they hear something that's unpleasant they don't want to hear? They're going to abandon that walk in Christ. They don't want to follow him anymore. What happens when people run across hard times, they fall upon difficult situations when they're following Christ? They want to jump ship and not follow him anymore. It happens way too often. People have the wrong impression of what it means. A lot of people do. To be a disciple of Christ. Just the slightest inconvenience, just the slightest offense. The preacher says the wrong thing. They're ready never to come back to church again. I didn't like what that guy said. I don't want to sit and listen to that anymore. Or they're forced to make a tough decision in their life. Maybe even to sever a relationship with a boyfriend or a girlfriend that they know is leading a sinful kind of life. He's not ready to make those kind of decisions. Not ready to part ways with people like that. Not ready to sever those ties. There may be a difficult task to set before them. And it's just too tough for them to do. Look, following Jesus is all about commitment. It's all about discipline. That's what discipleship is all about. It's about discipline. It's about hard work. And it's about sacrifice. The apostles can testify to the truthfulness of that statement. You believe that? Peter said of himself and the rest of the apostles, he said in Luke 18:28 to Jesus, he said, "Behold, we have left all our homes and followed you." They left their businesses, they left their jobs, they left their families, they left their friends. They literally gave up everything to follow Jesus. Look, that's not always easy to do. I can't think of a time when it would ever be easy to do. Worth it, yes, but easy? I don't think so. And what about the Apostle Paul, who became an apostle later in history? The Apostle Paul would later write extensively of all that he had in his life before Christ, and that he had to give up. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. The Apostle Paul wrote of that. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. You just keep your Bible open there to Philippians chapter 3, because we're going to read verses 12 through 14 in just a moment. But we read in verses 7 through 11, Paul wrote, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul had everything that a mortal man could ever hope to have from a materialist standpoint. He had it all. He had wealth. He had position. He had power. He had renown. He had fame. He had respect. He had everything you could ever want. He had it all, and yet he understood he had nothing without Christ. And he said he counted it all as rubbish. Just discarded it because it was worthless to him if he couldn't have Christ. And he couldn't have these things in Christ at the same time. Anything truly worth having and worth living for and worth dying for is going to be found in Christ and nowhere else. And Paul understood that. Paul weighed the whole world in the balance against the excellency of knowing Christ Jesus. He put the world in one hand and Jesus in the other, and the world came up extremely insufficient. It came up way lacking, way wanting. It came up very insubstantial compared to the excellence of Jesus Christ and knowing Him and being conformed to His resurrection. So worth leaving the world to follow Christ. But it's really vitally important to count the cost first. It really is. Jesus stressed that. I want to stress that to you this morning. I don't want anyone to go into a pursuit like that frivolously and not having considered what's going to be required of you. And one of the reasons why that's so important to size up the task first is so that once you truly decide to follow Jesus, you're not delusional, you come to some realities and you follow Him anyway, you're so less likely to turn back. Once you do that. If you don't count the cost first, those are usually the people who abandon the project before it's finished. They don't stop and do that cost analysis first. Back to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 this time. Paul went on to write, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Don't look back once you start this race, once you start this building project, once you start in this war. Don't look back. Everything that we're working for lies straight ahead. Everything that's of importance is before us. That's where the finish line is. That's where the goal is. That's where the prize is of that upward calling. Everything lies ahead of us, nothing behind us. If we look behind in a longing fashion to the things that we've left behind, we're liable to go back. Don't do that. Once you've started a life in Christ, don't go back. Don't be like that dog that returns to his vomit. That's a despicable thing to even think about. Once you start following Jesus, see it all the way through to the end. Well, you might be thinking right now, after all of these stern and harsh words that I've spoken this morning, and how I've painted not the prettiest picture of what it means to be a follower of Christ, you might be thinking that I'm trying to discourage you from doing that. And that couldn't be any farther from the truth. That would be incorrect. But what I do want to show you is what it really means to be a follower of Christ. I want to impress upon you the sacrifice that is required of you to do that. But look, Jesus wouldn't require all this huge sacrifice if there just wasn't a seriously monstrous payoff at the end for having followed Him. And there is. Everything that you're willing to forego for Christ is going to be paid back to you a million times over. Let's read what He said in Luke chapter 18, verses 28 through 30. Last verse of Scripture this morning. Luke chapter 18, verses 28 through 30. Jesus had this to say. We read verse 28 earlier. Peter said, "Behold, we have left our homes and followed You. Jesus said to them in verses 29 through 30, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come eternal life." If you're ready to give up all you have and all you are to get all you can possibly get and be all that you can possibly be, you'll gain anything and everything that's really worth having if you want to follow Christ. You're required to make quite a sacrifice. You got to give yourself up completely. You got to give yourself, your will up to the Lord. You got to be willing to give that old life up, to give those old sinful pursuits up, those old unhealthy ties that you might have. But Jesus said it's going to be oh so very worth it if you're willing to do that. He said, listen, not just in this life too, it's going to be worth it, but in the vast eternity that is to follow this life, it's going to be so worth it. Eternal life. All things become new in Christ, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The old things pass away, behold, all things come new. Are you going to have to give up some old things? Are you going to have to give up your old sinful habits, your old inferior self? Yes. But He's going to make you a brand new person in Him. A brand new person with a brand new mission in life. And with a life that has brand new meaning. Meaning like it never had before. If you want to follow Him. Might you have to sever some strong family ties? It might happen. I've seen brothers and sisters become at odds with one another because one decided to follow Christ. I've seen it happen. But look, you're going to get a whole new family in Christ for your trouble when you follow Christ. You'll get a whole new set of mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And they'll all be pursuing the same goals as you. They're all going to be trying to go to heaven like you are. And look, they're going to help you do that. If you've got family members who are not in Christ, they can't help you get to heaven. You're going to get a brand new family in Christ that's only going to want the best things in this world for you if you have to sever some old family ties. Might you have to give up your old home? Maybe. I've seen it happen. I've seen people become unwelcomed in their own home when they gave their life to Christ, and I've seen them have to leave. But you know what Jesus says He's got waiting for you on the other side if you're willing to do that? A shiny new mansion in heaven. It's so worth it to follow Jesus and to give up whatever it is you might need to give up to get whatever it is He offers you. And once you truly do some accurate cost analysis, you're going to realize that. You're going to discover that your losses are nothing compared to the gains that you're going to achieve by following Christ. And it's just going to be more than worth it. More than worth it. Well, you can go ahead and pick up your songbook and be turning to page 98, song number 98. And before we sing that song, I would like for us to read that together. Because this song, "I Surrender All," the classic gospel song, the classic hymn, "I Surrender All," really describes, I think, accurately, what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Let's read that. Song number 98, "I Surrender All." "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender, make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Let me know the joy of living, truly know that Thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessings fall on me." And let me tell you, they will. The blessings will fall on you in Christ Jesus. God will open that storehouse of heaven, open those windows to the heavens above, and He'll rain blessings down on you if you choose to follow Jesus. But you got to surrender all. Are you ready to do that this morning? Are you ready to surrender everything to Jesus? Be the best step you ever took in your life. The first step you need to take to surrendering yourself to Jesus is to express your belief in Him, if you believe in Him. You need to be willing to confess that belief. And you need to be willing to repent of your sins. When you surrender all, you're giving up that old sinful life that you may have lived outside of Christ. And you have to be willing to be baptized in order to have your sins forgiven. And then your walk begins, the best walk you'll ever walk. Placed right on that path that leads to heaven. Never look back. No need to look back. There's nothing back there for you. But we stand ready to help you this morning. If we can help you do these things and we can baptize you into Christ, we can help you surrender everything to Jesus so you can get everything in return. We're ready to do that this morning. Won't you come now as we're standing and singing?